session number 23200, reel 10.
Mr. Kidger, reel 10. We're talking about the sort of period while you were leading up to decommissioning of the Calder. What sort of entertainment and recreations did the Americans put on for you then while you were waiting in Brooklyn Navy Yard?
Well, we went to what I call it, as I say, to where Fifth Avenue was, Union Jack Club. And we were told to go there. We went to what I call it, Union Jack Club. And when we went in, everything was put on for you. There was sweets there for you. Cigarettes was there for you. They were all free. That one. And it was more like a club. Now, they asked us, what would you like to do? Would you like to be driven by taxi, by car, or would you like to walk and invited to go around and see the sights of Boston? Said, yeah. And when we're on, they asked us, you can go to any of the shows, were all free. Madison Square Gardens, I always remember, there was a rodeo show there. I did go there, but before that, we went on what you call a walking tour. The first day we got there. And there was six of us at the time. I don't know why. It was always packed, so six, you know. But as I say, it was six of what I caught for one day, mistake. So this guide, he says to us, he says, well, I'll explain the different places you'll see on your way going round. And he says, I'll take you to some interesting places where you would like to see, you know. And I can always remember, he took us to what I call it, in one part of what I call it, New York, where it was what I call it, a nightclub. It was Joe Louis, the boxers. It was his club. And outside on the pavement, all what I call American coins had been cemented on the pavement. In other words, is you would think you were walking over what I call it, a load of money. You couldn't pick up, but it was just cemented out that one. And he asked us at the time, at a particular time, would I like to walk inside, what I call it. I can't remember if it was the nightclub 90. 90 seemed to be my main, but it was 90 coming in the name of it. Anyway, we went inside. Everyone was used to different ones of this, what I call you, that run the club. Well, at that particular time, Joe Louis, he was in the club. Well, like everything else, the lads, you know, I mean, boxing, you know, some liked boxing, some didn't know who he was, but yet again, they were introduced. Well, there was two of us went for his autograph. Well, naturally, we had no what to call it, books all like that. And I was being a smoker, I used to smoke, what to call it, caps and stuff, yeah, cigarettes. So I asked him to sign what to call it, the packet. Is it what a copy of cigarette? Now the same lad that was with me, he got his sign his name on it. But anyway, we were introduced to what a quote, you know, the different parts of the club. We came out of there, and then we were walking along, and he took us around the places where there was the parts of what I call it, the variety places that, you know. He says, now, if you look up there, you see, there's the dressing rooms. I forgot what I call it, the theatre hall, or whatever it was at the time. But he was showing us this, what I call it, the dressing rooms. And one of the lads pointed out straight away, he says, that's what I call it. He says, the Marx Brothers, you know? He says, there's three of them there. He says, think of them. You know, at the window, you know? And the guy turned around and said, well, would you like to meet them, you know? Well, we thought, you know, at the time, you know, oh, you know, we'd seen him on the, what I call it, the pictures, on the black and white, but, you know, and he took her out, this, what I call it, the side of the stage door, and went round, and he introduced me, you know, there. And so, the same thing happened again, there's still a lad now, you know, we got the autographs, you know, but we couldn't even put them on the pack of cigarettes. But anyway, we came back from there, and we came back to Union Jack Club. and we had a meal in the time. So we were asked, would you love to go to see a rodeo show? And they explained what it was, because we didn't know what a rodeo show was. And they said, we'll call it, you'll enjoy it because Roy Rogers is on, you know, and his horse called Trigger, you know. And we said, well, how much is it? He says, oh, everything's free. Well, anyhow, we had one meal. They took what we call it, we went by car to what I call it, Madison Square Gardens, where the rodeo show was at the time. And we had a smashing seat. The rodeo show was with their cattle, how they used to, what I call it, ride, what I call it, the different, what I call it, different cattle out, you know, who could stop on the longest, you know. Another part was where, what I call it, the horse, what I call it, the cowboy would be on the horse, and he used to last, what I call it, the cattle, and he had to get off the horse, he had to tie his front legs with his hind legs. And the one that did the fastest was like a league game, you know. The one that did the fastest, he was the one that got the top prize. But as far as Roy Roger was concerned, he came on a horse with his horse. Came on, what it called, on the rodeo, riding his horse. And that's what he used to sing, you know. It was sung that one, yeah. And he asked what it called, he came on and introduced himself in the set, you know. And like everything else, you know, there was a spotlight on. He didn't want it on. He asked to put it off. They wouldn't put it off. He says, what I call it, he says, if I can't get it off, he says, I'll shoot it off. That's he pulled the gun out, fired it, and the damn thing went off, you know. And he got on, he's singing. So what happened, what I call it, afterwards, he had to go to, what I call it, last night, different cattle in this area, you know. Wasn't much good, but as I say, if you take his singing came first, his rustling came second, you know. But after the rodeo show was finished, we were taken down and were introduced with him. His autograph on a pack of cigarettes. The other lad didn't get it, that one. So I had three lots of autographs, remember. And we were brought back to the Union Jack Club. We had a few drinks in the Union Jack Club. And we were brought back to board of shit again. Get back to board of shit. Get some of our bunks. The next morning, we'll all talk about where we had been in this night, you know. Well, the other parts of the ship's company said, well, how much did it cost you? Well, we were told, as far as the Union Jack Club was concerned, everything that went in there was free, and you had to go. Now, when they found out where I'd travelled, where I'd been, there was such a rush for it to get there, you know, because you had to spend money. Well, at the time, I says, what I'd seen in the city, either, where I'd been. I says, I went on about it, and I says, I got three lots of autographs, and the other lad, he only got two. But what happened was, when I went to look for my cigarettes, I found out I hadn't a packet. And what I can remember at the time, I took my last cigarette out and I threw the packet away. And it's one of the biggest regrets of my life, of losing them autographs, that one. Because we had no ways of getting anything signed. The only way we could sign was on the cigarettes. And I never knew what happened to the other lad, what happened to his, that was him. But I had three lots of signatures. Joe Louis, Roy Rogers, and the Three Stooges.
The Three Stooges.
You know.
Now, was there a sort of ceremony when the ship was decommissioned? Because you've got a photograph of Payne and the ceremony.
Yes, that was it. That was a thing, but before that, before the couple at that point, we were there for a few days in what I call in America, you know. or decommissioned ship in the city there. Well, what happened was, the Yanks did want nothing to do with British stuff. They didn't want my crockery. They didn't want my cutlery. They didn't want any parts, or what I call it, machinery, that was supplied by the British. What they wanted was just the shell of the ship. Well, what happened was, we had to get disposed of all of our crockery. We had a load of crockery on board the ship. So, when we got more meals, it wasn't a case of washing up. It was a case of throwing everything out the porthole. Because what's the good of washing up? They won't have it, they'll just break it. So we just threw everything out the porthole, you know. Everything went out, you know. And we enjoyed the meals, we enjoyed the washing up, because what it was, you know, just everything went out. Because there was fresh cups in that one. But what happened was, we were told we could take anything we wanted off the ship, you know, providing you could carry it, you know. Or you had what I call a bag to take it in, you know, kid bag. And I can always remember what I call this bloke. The only thing he would have called, what we didn't do, he told us not to do, was to collect all the knives and forks up and spoons. And he was going to take charge of them. We said, well, you've got a load of knives and forks, what are you going to do with them? He said, I've got a kid bag made, and he said, I'm going to put them all in. And you make believe me, he got a kid bag full. It was chock full. So we said, well, how in the world, what are you going to do with them, you know? We thought he was going to open a restaurant. He says, no, no. He says, if you remember when you're back in, what do you call it, in England, he says, what happens when you go to the nappy? He says, you get a meal. Says, oh, yes. He says, what happens? He says, he should charge you, what are called three shilling. He says, shilling for a fork, shilling for a knife, and shilling for a spoon. That was three shilling. So, well, what's he got to do going in? He says, well, when I'm going, when I go, he says, I'll get a meal. He says, I'll get a knife and fork. But when I go back, he says, I'll take two or three sets. So he says, I'll get the own, what I call it, three bob, what I got in the first place. He says, all these knives and forks I'm taking away, what I call it, back to Britain. He says, I'm going to cash in this. I said, I'm going to make a bomb out of this kid bag. Well, we could see his point. We couldn't get in on it because he was a force one. But what I call it, some blokes, some of them would, what I call it, you know, taking boxes, what I call it, nuts and bolts, you know, think that one, screws, stuff like that one, you know. Well, I couldn't see any sense of it, you know, because you were going back in civil life, you know, you don't want to get some mix. But apart from that, what happened was, we got a big invitation to a big party in Boston, and everything was free. But what I had to do...
In Boston or in New York?
I think it was Boston the party was. But we got an invitation from the Union Jack Club, you know, in New York. And this party was, what they were going to, was a big party, which was, it was British, it was Irish, it was Scottish and Welsh people living in America. And they were throwing this big party. There was about 300, what do you call it, different, you know, different age groups would be at the party, you know. But one of as many sailors as they could. Unfortunate, a lot of lads weren't keen on it. So what happened was, the six lads from the beginning that went to the Union Jack Club, we were keen to go, but we couldn't get any more to go. But we were going to be picked up outside, what I call it, outside the ship, alongside the ship, in taxis, and taken there. Yep. Private cars, sorry, not taxis, private cars, taken there. So the six of us got out of one taxi, into one car, and nobody else would go. So we were taken to what I call the Boston, and I think was the, I couldn't tell exactly what part of the bus it was, but anyway, we got there, what I call, we stayed the party, the big hall, and that was what it was. And the driver said at the time, you know, he says, would you like a drink, you know, before you went in? Because when you go in there, you'll see, you know, a big party got on for you. We say, well, okay, well, we're going to the bar, you know, and I went, you don't need to. He lifts the boot of his car up, and it was a big mini bar, and everything you wanted, whiskey, rum, all you wanted, you know. It was just like opening what I call a cocktail cabinet. You got everything, anything you want, you know, a drink. He says, I would advise you to have a stiff drink before you go in there. I should just take his word for it, you know. The six were all drunk, you know, not everybody would like a drink. So we went in, when we went in, it was just like going to a big wedding reception, you know. Everything was decorated out, the tables all there, were glum and the city of that. And they were coming up, you know, driving a hold of you. You wanted to go and sit with them, you know. There was only six with, there was 300 of them, you know. Well, you know what I mean? I had to be spread out, you know. And different ones saying, are you Scottish? I'm Geordie. Are you what I call it, Scottish Cockney, you know? Are you from Wales? Are you from Ireland, that one, you know? And you could see that what I wanted to do is for you to go in their particular group, that one, on the tables, so they could talk to you, ask about the places round about and what was going on. Mate, they did put a good, what I call, spread on for it. With plenty to drink, plenty to say, we'll ask that many different questions, we're just going to keep up with everybody. And we being a jury, I don't think we knew half the things I was talking about, you know. And what happened was we found out the scepter, when the tables were cleared and that, you know, they had a dance on and stuff, you know. And what happened was, there was different ones, the daughters wanted us to get married and get a British passport. Now the only way they could do it was to go, what I call, to get married, but just for to get the British passport, not to live together. And they would give us so much money for to get over to this country, but to get the British passport. So in other words, we had to get married over there. So it allowed them to come back to this country, that one. And but wouldn't give, and none of the six could turn around and say yes or no. But what was said at the time would have to go away and think about it. Because we didn't know exactly when the ship would be, what I call it, part and company all together. Well, when we got back on board the ship, and we started talking about this, that, you know, you know, if you're going to marry somebody and come back to this country, it could be saddled with them, you know. And what would your parents think, you know, in the city there? And I think that was the end of what I call it. I don't think, what I call it, because the following day, the ship was going to be decommissioned altogether. And we never got a chance to go back to them. And we never got a chance. Well, we did get, the only thing we got off them was the dresses. Where they lived, you know. And I don't think anywhere that among the six we wrote to anybody, because at the end of the day we didn't want to get married. We're just two glads come home single, you know.
What was the ceremony like?
Well, what happened was, there's one of the chaps that was on the ASDIC, you know, he was presented with a medal for picking, what do you call it, the subs and stuff, yeah, you know. And it was put up, it was on the, what I call the quarter deck. I can't remember, it was the quarter deck. Okay, it was on over there, I'll just put it that way. And he was handed the medal in the statue that day for his, what I call, for his services, what he had done in, what I call, in the Navy, you know. And and we were told at the time what was going to be put on for us. They said that the, there'll be lorries taken alongside it. So you put your kid bags on, you could take a steaming bag, carry a steaming bath, you carry a taxi case, but your kid bag and your hammock would have to be put into the, what I call the wagons. And part of the ship's company would have to clean shit, and I would say farewell to everybody in what I call it, and I handed over the ship, and we'll be taken by bus to the what I call the docks where the Queen Mary was docked, you know. And we'll be going back to this country on the Queen Mary, and it would probably take about 3 days for it to get from America to Southampton. Well, when we got aboard, it was like luxury, because it was two of us to a cabin, and they were big cabins, you know, luxury. It was like, you know, going to a hotel, and the grub on board was great, you know. And the 3 days we were on board the ship, it was great again. We couldn't grumble. In other words, we could have stopped on for the rest of our life. And what happened was, there was a section for civilians and a section for the forces. Leave that one. There was entertainment put on, like cinema, dancing, and what I call, you know, different. You could go to any different part, you know, of that area, you know, what's for the forces. Civilians had their own section. We did do what I call duty on the 3 days we travelled. Unfortunately for us, it lasted more than 3 days, it lasted 5 days. Because when we came to this country outside of Southampton, we got back here, it was such a storm, we couldn't dock for 2 days, you know. And when we did dock in what we call Southampton, we had to leave, and we were told point blank that the, you see, and we were told point blank that the only thing we would be get aboard a ship would be a hammock in your hand luggage. Your steamer, yeah, what you call your kit bag, it would have to follow back up to Chatham. And what happened was, we came back to Chatham. Well, when we got into Chatham, and we only had a hammock, and they found out we had no other sources of changing gear, advised us to go on leave. Now, when he arrived, it was on a Sunday. I can always remember it was on a Sunday. He said, yeah. And when I said, we're going to send you on leave today, leave your hammock, take your steaming bag, and take your case. Will you? Well, naturally, what I missed out on some of the things here in between. When the ship was decommissioned, cigarettes was, what I call it, was the sixth of the packet. Woodbines was fourth and safety. Tin of tobacco was one and sixes. But what happened was, the Nafi, what I call it, the manager, had to get rid of the cigarettes, which he was told to do, that one. So what he done was, he reduced the prices of them. So for 20 players and 20 caps, and from being sixpence, automatically came down was 1.5 pennies, you know. You had to get rid of them, you know. Whether you was pocketing money, I do not know. But apart from that, we had bought American cigarettes, you know, different things like that. But bought different things, you know, from in the stores in Wirico, in New York. And what I'm telling you now, I should have told you before, but these things come back, you know. And
all right.
You hope you don't mind me going back. But what happened was, when Wirico were going around with the guys, we were invited different people in America. There was some Australian, Canadian, American people. And they were good to us. Well, some of the big stores were in. There was one big store, you know what I mean? We went in this, that, you know. And it had to be like what supermarkets we have here, vegetable and groceries and crockery and different things like that, glassware and everything that one. Well, in the Navy, if we went to get presents, we always called them rabbits, you know. A rabbit, it was a present, you know, you bought some rabbits. It wasn't the word I called it, buying, kill rabbit, or ride the rabbits. It was a present, is that, you know. And we're going through this door, and Australian people said, where are you going? We're going to look around, never look to see any rabbits to take home, you know. Oh, you got rabbits, you know. And they grab a hold of her arm, you know. He said, you've got rabbits, come with us, and we take you to a place. That one. Well, naturally, we thought we were going to go to, you know, a place where we could buy souvenirs, they said. They took us to the vegetables department. They said, oh, what are they called? Rabbits like lettuce. Well, they couldn't understand. We were saying, what? Lettuce of no good to take home. We want souvenirs. When we got things sorted out, they picked us up wrong. So what they did do, they took us from there, they took us in the work court, and where the work court, we could buy stuff for a take home, souvenirs in the one, you know. And they said to us, have a look and see what if you fancy, you know, we'll pay for it. Well, say everything else, I mean, you think, you know, if you buy pick the cheapest or buy the dearest, you know, and you don't like people who had money because, as I say, what saved up money, you know, on my work or on my patrols. But they wouldn't let me. So they bought what I call different things. I know, I can remember what I call it, they bought a water set. I got a water set, 6 glasses in a water jug, you know. Unfortunately, no, you know, I mean, I haven't got the glasses. My mother, I got my mother and everything. And my mother passed them out to us as a wedding present when we got married. And the only thing we got left of it is the junk. You know, we still got that, you know. It's as good as the airport, good as the day it was given to us. But anyhow, what happened was, we were taken out of that store and we were taken to what we call the hosiery department, another store. So, the American, what I call it, people that was where we, you know, I don't know, they wanted you, you know, they wanted to buy, you know, different things, you know. They said, you must have some girlfriends or sisters or your mother, daughters, they said, would release some stones in this area, you know. Well, in America, in the hosiery department, it was one store, it was nothing but stones. Still stones. And on the what I call it, on the dummies, on the what I call it, not the dummies, but there was legs, women's legs, you know, different shapes. Was what I call it, one big what I call it, counter, and so, you know, that's how stocking was on. Well, the what I call it, the American people were asking us what size leg, you know, yeah, what I call it, your sister took, or your girlfriend took. Or your mother took that one, you know. And it's that, yeah. Well, we didn't know anything about size, you know.